This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. I just love that intro. This is Peter Scoop Stanton. You are listening to 7-5 Radio. Walt Yerkew will join us a little bit later. He's still at the hair salon getting his cornrows tight. But first and foremost, I want to thank Mike Dowd for appearing on our show last week. It was one for the ages. However, we really did not appreciate the cursing. But, you know, that's the way Mike talks. That's the way real cops talk. That's the way real people talk. But anyways, thank you, Michael Dowd. We plan to have him on again sooner than later. All right, let's start remembering those who were murdered in the line of duty. First Trooper Kevin Keith Connor of the North Carolina State Police. End of watch, October 17. His killer is in custody. Police Officer Devarius Antoine Tony of the Gwinnett County, Georgia Police Department. End of watch, October 20. One of his killers is in custody. The other killer, thankfully, was shot and killed. Also, investigator Farrah Turner of the Florence County, South Carolina Sheriff's Office, end of watch October 22nd. Her killer is in custody and alive and breathing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all remember a couple weeks ago the Brett Kavanaugh absolute debacle. And one of the people that was making a name for himself is none other than Spartacus himself, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. Well, Cory Booker believed Christy Blasey Ford 100% and thought Kavanaugh was a sexual pervert. But in an anonymous letter on Twitter, someone identified himself as a gay man and a supporter of gay causes and liberal causes, alleges that in 2014, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker sexually harassed him in a restroom. Now, unlike Dr. Christy Blasey Ford, this story is very believable, but it is very anonymous. I mean, I could have wrote it. And as usual, the mainstream ignore the story. Now, Mr. Booker, he's running for president in 2020 or considering a run. Also, Mr. Booker said he grew up in the mean streets of Newark, New Jersey. He didn't. He grew up in a well-to-do suburb. But if you look at Mr. Booker's record, he does admit groping somebody, a female, at Stanford. And just looking at Mr. Booker himself, he looks like he is a switch hitter. Now, I'm not saying he is a switch hitter, but he looks like it. But as usual, the mainstream media ignored the story. They went after Brett Kavanaugh for a 35-year-old story that was very unbelievable, very unsubstantiated. And yet, here comes something about one of their own, a black man who is a U.S. senator and possibly the next, could be the next president of the United States, but they totally ignore it. So, anyways, moving right along, mainstream news is reporting about suspicious packages. And there's been a rash of suspicious packages sent to prominent Democrats. George Soros, the Obamas, the Clintons, CNN headquarters in New York, Eric Holder, Robert De Niro, and now we're getting word Vice President Joe Biden has received a package in Delaware. Now, these packages are non-lethal. They're inert. They can't. There's nothing to set off or nothing to explode. Anyways, they're all over the place, and the mainstream media is talking about it like it's the second coming of September the 11th. CNN headquarters was evacuated the other day in Columbus Circle, and you thought a nuclear warhead was found with a detonator. But here's a couple theories. First theory is that somebody is from the right wing, some right-wing nut job is doing it. which I seriously doubt, because if it was a right-wing nut job, they probably would not do it, because, number one, they got to work. Number two, if they do, we're going to send a suspicious package, they would make sure it was working properly. But here's another theory, and I credit Chris Plant on syndicated on Cumulus Media, that it might be a George Soros, not George Soros, a Bernie Sanders supporter. Last year in Alexandria, Virginia, a Bernie Sanders supporter gunned down Steve Scalise in a baseball field for the Republican-Democrat congressional baseball game. Republicans were practicing. But all these different Democrats, you got the Clintons, the Obamas, Soros, De Niro, and Joe Biden, they're receiving these packages. And the return address is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Now, why is that prominent? Because Debbie Wasserman Schultz was the chairwoman of the Democrat National Committee, and she had a hand in giving Hillary the nominations. Even though Bernie had the votes, Bernie was going to get the votes, Bernie was going to outright win the nomination, but they took it from her. Correction, took it from him. Bernie's a man. The Democrats took it from Bernie Sanders, who's going to be who had enough to win the nomination. They gave it to Hillary Clinton. So people say Trump stole the election. No, Hillary Clinton stole the nomination. So they got some dirty tricks. But it's either a Bernie Sanders supporter, or it could be a Democrat nut job. Why do I say it could be a Democrat nut job? Because the Democrats are about to have their asses handed to them. Because right now the economy is in hyperdrive. Wall Street is booming, except for the past couple of days. It's been taking a nosedive. Unemployment is at record lows. Manufacturing jobs are coming back. Coal mining and steel industries are coming back, were once dead industries. The military is rebuilding. The VA is getting fixed. Taxes are being cut. Wages are going up. Pride is returning to America. Then those are the Kavanaugh hearings, which show the Democrats becoming unhinged. Then add the caravan that's just heading north, which nobody wants, and will arrive as people are going to the polls that do not want these people living in their pockets. I mean, when they come up, these caravan refugees or refuse come up here and set foot in the U.S. and we take them in, guess what? You and I are on the hook. So anyways, these caravan people are coming up here, and the media is still self-imploding. CNN ratings are just absolutely in the toilet. ESPN, which is a sports network, their ratings are down because they have a personal agenda that everybody sees through. And then ABC ratings took a nosedive. Now, when I say they took a nosedive, because... oh, we're going to be right back. Saved by the Allman Brothers Band. This is 7-5 Radio on Liberty News Radio. We'll be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we're back with no Walter Yerkew. Walt texted me. He's still at the beauty parlor. He's getting his cornrows tight, and he's getting a pedicure. So, well, we'll get here when he gets here. But anyways, I was talking about the quote-unquote suspicious packages that's going around to Democrats. Like I said before, my theory is that it's a Bernie Sanders supporter because the return address is going to Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So anyways, the it could be a possibly either a Bernie Sanders supporter or a Democrat operative trying to gain sympathy. But like I was saying, mainstream media, which is in the tank for Democrats and every anti-American cause, is they're taking a nosedive. ABC, when they rebooted Roseanne, the ex-boffo ratings. They were number one new show, even though it was a reboot from 20 years ago. And the ratings were up. Roseanne, she was more awake. Now, I never quite agree with Roseanne. I think, you know, some of her opinions are a little bit out there. I absolutely despise what she did to the national anthem at that baseball game 20-something years ago. But people come around. But so she said some things about Valerie Jarrett looking like a monkey. And on Twitter, people are putting up pictures from of a character from the movie Planet of the Apes, the original. And guess what? It looked like Valerie Jarrett. So ABC decided to kill off the Roseanne character, Roseanne Connor, and just called the show The Connors. And guess what? When it re-premiered, it had half the ratings of the Roseanne premiere, and then the next episode had half the ratings of the premiere. So it's down 75%. Also, Democrats are self-imploding because black people are finally waking up. Now, I've said it last week, the week before, you know, people like Sean Hannity saying, oh, yeah, black people are coming to the Republican Party. Look at Ben Carson and Roy and Niger Innes and J.C. Watts, who was actually a sellout, and what's his name? Colin Powell, another sellout. But now people are really waking up because, like, Kanye West and Candace Owens and Stacey Dash, they're saying, you know what? The Democrats have done nothing for us for 50, 60 years, and they can't take it. So that's why my theory, it's only a conspiracy theory, is that it's either a Bernie Sanders supporter or a Democrat strategist trying to get sympathy from the American public, but it's not working. Anyways, also in the news is this so-called caravan that's coming up through Central America and through Mexico. And I've been making a couple observations. Now, first off, most of these so-called refugees are military-aged men between the ages of 18 and 40. Now, these are the most productive and able-bodied citizens of their home nation. And these people can't change their conditions of their home country. They can't run for office. They can't, do things to, make things right. They can't, form a revolution. I mean, folks, our country was built on blood, bullets, and backbone. We, told England, no, we're not going to do this anymore, and, shots were fired. So these able-bodied citizens are coming up. None of them are MS-13. They're not narcotic trafficker. They're not human traffickers. They're not smugglers. They're not, they're not coming up here to do ill things. They're all coming here for a better life.
Right.
Also, you have some women, some children coming up, during the school year. That's nice. And secondly, these people are being placed on flatbed trucks and being transported north towards the U.S.-Mexican border. And also, there's another video clip out there that shows people, looks like they're standing in line getting some money. Now, my question is, who's paying for these trucks? Who's paying for the food that these people are getting served and prepared? And where are these people sleeping at night? And who's paying for that? I mean, this all costs some money. They're not some truck driver in the third row is not going to say, all right, let me put a couple hundred people on the back of my flatbed and go up north. It's going to cost. They want some money. They're not going to do it for free. And another thing is, who's picking up all the garbage? There's one, two, three, four, 10, 15,000 people. Nobody's there's no head. Nobody's taking a head count. So you got all these people eating at. And putting the place in their heads at night, and so they generate garbage. I mean, humans naturally generate garbage, and most importantly, where are these people using the facilities? Because they have to answer the call of nature. Now, I can only imagine what's going on, because you put like 300 people in a rest stop off a major interstate highway. And it's curtains. So you have thousands of people who have to answer the call of nature. And I can just imagine what's going on. So all these people going north, they're getting a free ride, free food, free shelter, free facilities, hopefully. So somebody's got to be paying for it. And nobody's saying who. And thankfully, President Trump is working on a plan to keep these folks out. He has talked about using the military, but however, there's a law in the books, and the military cannot be used to stop illegal aliens come across the border. But you can use the military to stop an invasion of foreign enemies coming in. And I think these people are foreign enemies. They're not coming here to build things or do things or provide services or make America great. It's a free ride. People are saying, come up to the U.S. And right now, it's the idea of thousands of people coming into America from south of the border is backfiring big time. There's no sympathy for these people. The caravan's taking a back burner for these suspicious packages, which I say is very suspicious, because we had, all day, every day, these people coming up on the border. They're tired, they're poor, they're hungry, yearning to breathe free, all the good stuff. And my phone's ringing, but I'll have to ignore that. So it's very suspicious. Trump's working on a plan to keep these people out. Meanwhile, the Democrats are silent. None of these people, now usually with these people coming in, the unaccompanied minors that was coming flooding across the border 5 years ago, the kids being separated from their parents or adult guardians in jail, that's a big to-do. But now nobody's saying a thing on the left. They're not saying, oh, we need to let these people in, we need to provide facilities, we need funding for this, of course you and I are going to pay for it. They're not saying anything, because if they do, they're going to lose at the polls again, because people are just sick and tired of this. Nancy Pelosi's not she's not going to go down there to wash the feet of these people. And you know darn well these people come across our border, they're not going to be put up in her Pacific Heights neighborhood in San Francisco. Chuck Schumer hasn't been saying anything other than to blame Trump. Elizabeth Warren's been silent. Cory Booker, he's silent. I guess he's got some bathroom issues to take care of. So nobody's saying a thing. So, and of course, these people are going to come right around election day. So, and these people are running for their lives, which another thing is that this so-called blue wave is nowhere to be seen. Nobody's excited for Democrats coming in. Nobody's that upset nobody's that mad at Trump because they have jobs again. They got money in their pockets. They got tax breaks. The VA's getting fixed for veterans. Our military is being rebuilt. Peace is breaking out in North Korea, so that's not a factor. Trump wants to build this wall, keep him out. Trump's fighting the mainstream head on. And we're coming upon our second break. This is 7-5 Radio with Scoop Stanton flying solo. Walter is still at the beauty parlor. All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We'll be right back.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we're back with 7-5 Radio. Just me, Scoop, sitting all by himself. I guess he's getting the deluxe package at the beauty parlor. My partner in crime, Walter Yerkew. Anyways, I'll speak for Walter. I'm going on his Twitter feed right now. Somewhere, Ed McMahon is rolling over his grave on because of Star Search. Because Rosie O'Donnell. Speaking of Rosie O'Donnell, she's marrying a police officer. He was a female, and the police officer just absolutely stunning. I mean, good grief. If I could somehow convince her not to get married, because she'll probably be, A, be miserable, B, miserable at Rosie, and C, just marriage is not what it used to be. But man, oh man, she's just absolutely stunning. Also, Walter said, tweeted he wanted to get in the Black Entertainer Awards because of his attributes and his accomplishments here on 7-5 Radio and on the 7-5 movie. But white people don't get invites on the Black Entertainment Awards. Also, Walter commented about the suspicious packages. Both Mayor Bill de Blasio and Governor Andrew Cuomo both claimed that they received suspicious packages, but it just turned out to be regular mail. I guess they want to get on the hey, I'm a victim too of the suspicious package bandwagon, but they just got, you know, the cable bill, whatever. And then in terms of the border situation, Walter tweets, remember Father Guido Cerducci? Find out Pope in the pizza game. Well, let's find the illegal aliens in the caravan. And he says, can't lose this game. Well, you're right about that. That's too dirty by Cory Booker. So check out Walter Yerkew on Twitter. Just some of the things he tweets is just absolutely hysterical. But anyways, let's get back to the show featuring me and me alone. Donald Trump has called himself a nationalist at a campaign rally in Houston, Texas. Folks, if you want to see America beam with pride, people that love their country, people that love our way of life, love our Constitution, go to a Donald Trump rally, because that's what you really see. If you compare Trump versus Obama, Trump always talks about talks about us. We did this. We got tax cut. We got the VA cleaned up. We got military spending. We got this. We got that. Meanwhile, President Obama did a campaign stop in Nevada, and where he drew a very sparse amount of people, maybe 1,000. I mean, I'm being generous. And in a 38-minute speech, he referenced himself over 90 times. And President Obama did give himself credit for the jumpstart on the economy we're having, which he did, but it happened the day after Donald Trump was elected president. So he had 7.5 years of, I don't know what, of just ruining this country. Barack Obama he's the one that went to a memorial for 5 slain Dallas area police officers and made it about himself and made it about Black Lives Matter and made it about racism. And the look on those cops having to sit there and put up with this nonsense is just unbelievable. But Donald Trump, he supports law enforcement. And within his first week of office, he put a signed an executive order that puts cop killers in the as a federal crime and eligible for the death penalty. So anyways, Monday, Trump called himself a nationalist. He said, you know, they have a word. It's sort of old-fashioned. It's called nationalist. And I say, really, we're not supposed to use that word. You know what I mean? What I am, I'm a nationalist, okay? I'm a nationalist. Nationalist, nothing wrong. Use that word. And then Robert Costa from CNN, of course, he wanted to inject race in it. He wanted to embrace. He said that if the term could be, quote-unquote, coded language or a dog whistle of America's embracing a racist ideology. Trump said he was unaware of the term and carried any racial connotation. And he doubled down. He said, I love our country, and our country has taken second fiddle. We're giving away all our money and all our wealth to other countries, and then they don't treat us properly, which is 100% absolutely true. Now, of course, when he said nationalist, there was a dog whistle for the left. The first thing they thought was white nationalist, the political cesspool. I'm surprised James Edwards' name has not been brought up. But, you know, there's nothing absolutely wrong to be a nationalist. But, they want to say he's a white nationalist, which he's not. Or nationalist socialist member of the German Workers' Party, which Nazi is a national socialist, which is not, because he doesn't want the government to take over everything. So he's a nationalist. I'm a nationalist. I don't call myself a white nationalist. I say, you know what? Just leave white people alone. Give them everything that everybody else gets. You know, let's end quotas. Let's end reverse racism. Let's end affirmative action. And I'd love to see Jared Taylor as the commissioner of the EEOC. But as usual, CNN and the left, they're having a big issue with Trump being a quote-unquote nationalist. Now, mind you, a lot of things that the Trump campaign and other right-wing talk shows, as they talk about nationalism and other issues, it's come directly from the political cesspool. There's been times where one Saturday you hear the political cesspool talk about a certain issue, and then Monday, Tuesday, Michael Savage is talking about it, which, you know, I think it's absolutely great that somebody from the Savage camp listens to the political cesspool or 75 Radio or both, and then uses our content, our subject matter, our talking points for their show. You know, it's a, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But anyways, kudos on Donald Trump for being a nationalist, putting America first, putting jobs first, putting military first, putting law enforcement up first, putting first responders up first over everybody else. I mean, it's just such a breath of fresh air. I mean, one of the reasons why I love Trump so much is because I've been sick and tired of Barack Obama, George W. Bush, the Clintons, George H.W. Bush, just selling us down the river. I mean, it's just one oligarchy after another, but none of them say, oh, they love America. You know, from George H.W. Bush's New World Order to Barack Obama just opening up the floodgates and doing nothing for this country. I mean, I'm probably, yeah, I'm at the Trump camp. I'm in his bag. You know, I think he's doing a great job, but just so, you know, as an American, as a patriot, and as a veteran, it's just so refreshing to see this man just stand up for America and talk about America. And at the campaign stop in Houston, which is just an absolute, just raucous, just like a rock concert, he said that in America, we don't worship government. In America, we worship God. Right there should be his campaign slogan for 2020. But I predict Trump will have he'll win 2020 hands down. The Republicans will win 2018, 2020, 2022, and, of course, 2024. I'd like to see Mike Pence as the candidate for Republican presidential nomination in 2024, which will probably get, and it'll probably get elected if Trump keeps doing what he's been doing. Now, I don't like, I wasn't too happy about Kavanaugh. I got a couple issues with him in terms of Fourth Amendment and that sort of thing, but it's better than what Hillary Clinton would have appointed, and hopefully Father Time goes back to the Supreme Court building and tells Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, it's time to come home. But she's still alive and kicking, amazingly. You'll see when we'll see. But also, here's another thing about Trump. He's been appointing judges left and right at a faster pace than anybody except for George Washington. George Washington was able to appoint and have 100% of his judges confirmed. That's because they had no judges at the time, and he had to fill the slots. So hopefully three idiots in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco, hopefully they either get called home to the Lord or called home to a ball, and Donald Trump can fill those slots, so then we can really go back to what America used to be. But anyways, we still got no Walter. Hopefully he didn't get picked up again for something. But anyways, we're coming to our last break. We're going to have a talk about the political cesspool and what it's meant to me and the show and all of radio. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Well, it's just Scoop. Walter's missing in action. I guess he got the manicure, pedicure, cornrows tighted, and whatever else that he gets over at the hair salon. But anyways, this week we're celebrating 14 years of the political cesspool. Folks, the political cesspool has a special place in my heart. If it wasn't for the political cesspool, there would be no 75 Radio. It's always been a lifelong dream of me to go into talk radio. From the early days of like Rush Limbaugh, Howard Stern, Bob Grant, Opie Anthony, so on and so forth. But, you know, about 13 years ago, I happened to stumble across a link on the Council of Conservative Citizens website and saw the link for The Political Cesspool. I was like, oh, I got to check this out. So up comes the website, and then I listened to some of the archive, the early archives, and I said, wow, this is some good radio. So I emailed Mr. Edwards, and he emailed me back saying that, thanks. And then we started texting, or not texting, emailing each other. And I said, hey, can I be your European correspondent? He's like, sure. Now, mind you, I never met Mr. Edwards. He's never met me. I could have been a plant. I could have been some psycho. I could have been that idiot planting suspicious packages all over the U.S. But he took a chance on me, and it's been great ever since. Now, unfortunately, due to my real job, I work Saturday evenings, and I'm unable to call in the political cesspool. I don't have access to phones, and I can't call out. I only can call out certain numbers. It's a different job, but it's disheartening. But thankfully, I got that 75 radio, and Mr. Edwards and I talk. We text each other all the time. He's still afraid of using the telephone. I mean, the man's in talk radio. Everybody uses their phones for everything, and he's a phonophobe. But anyway, some of the greatest times, I'm going to talk just about my point of view. To me, the political cesspool is family. James, Eddie, Winston, Sam Bushman, Jim Lancia, Sean Bergen, and now Walter Yerkew. It's my second family. It's my social outlet. Since I work evenings and I have two small kids at home and a wife that's totally useless, I don't have a social life here in D.C. But, it's the political cesspool family is exactly what it is. It's a family. When Bill Rowland died a couple years back, it was the hardest show we did. And, it was also one of the best shows we did. But I consider them family. I consider them, my closest friends. I talk to Walter Yerkew all the time off the air about what's going on. And, him being a former social worker, it's therapy. But also, besides, meeting all these great people that we brought on board, it's like, this is the only show where the cesspool is the only show where you're either a recurring guest over and over and over again, or you become part of the staff. But I've also got to talk to Anthony Cumia, who I loved listening to when he was on WNEW in New York. That was amazing. Also got to talk to and meet and still talk to Charlie LaDuff, who's one of the world's greatest reporters. I mean, he's still teaching me things. And follow his blog. He's got the No BS Hour, his podcast. It's language is much, much more salty, but I had the opportunity to meet him. I went to CPAC two, three times. They wouldn't let me in this year. I don't know why, because, I'm a host of an FCC-licensed radio show. I've been in radio for 12 years. I have a website. I have a blog. I have a business card, but they wouldn't let me in. But, Bozo the Clown blogger can come in, or the I Hate Republican blogger, he gets press credentials, but somebody with the real radio show doesn't. But that's neither here nor there. But I still went to CPAC. I still had a great time. And folks, if you're in the DC area, come to CPAC. You don't have to buy a ticket. I mean, the more fun happens outside of CPAC than inside, because that's for all the stuffed shirts and the donors, whatever. But I've been to CPAC. We've been to the Republican National Convention. Sean and I did a broadcast from Geno Steaks in Philadelphia, which was a blast. Sean's just a stand-up guy. I've been to Obama rallies down in Hampton Roads, Virginia, facing tens of thousands of angry Obama supporters and tens of thousands of angry McCain supporters. I've been to Baltimore when the Baltimore's still burning. I called the Andrew Wilkow show, and I told him I was with the political cesspool just to, you know, give myself some credibility, because I don't say, hey, Andrew, I'm Johnny Jerkwater talking to Baltimore. He's like, no, I'm a host from another show, but this is some good stuff. And he says, well, we don't deal with racist radio show. And I was, he's something else. He's been doing radio for 10, 12 years. He married the daughter of the legendary program director Phil Boyce out of WABC. He's still in the same spot. And also, he said nothing when Opie and Anthony were fired. So anyways, that's him. What else have we done? 2007, me, Winston, Eddie, and James went to James's favorite karaoke bar and sung Run Run Sue. That was a blast. Whenever James comes to town, or Sean comes to town, or somewhere, you know, in the vicinity, we'll go up and meet each other. It's always fun. Met the fans. The fans are absolutely amazing. So I have absolutely no, my only regret is that I'm not on the cesspool as much as I'd like to, but it's been fun. I mean, we're just getting started. We've come a long way from the bean fields out in Millington. I know before we just used to sit around, kiss each other's tuckuses about how great we are. But once we brought Sean Bergen on board, we brought Chief Frith on board, and with Bill Rowland, we did a full circle. I mean, we were the first ones. I tell everybody this: we were the first ones to call out the war on cops. That December 20th, 2014. It's a Saturday I will never forget. Sean Bergen, he has ear to the ground always, and we said, you know, this is going to be big. And I had hijacked the show with the help of Sam Bushman. It's like, James, this is going to be big. Forget everything. Forget the Christmas show and stupid articles you know, that nobody cares about. It's like, this is going to be huge. And it was, and it's still going on, and we're still reading the names of the officers murdered in the line of duty, not the ones you know had a heart attack or crashed a car, but the ones just killed, because there's still a lack of respect of law enforcement. What else we done? We went to the convention. James went to the inauguration for Trump and said, give him hell, Donald. And he thinks Donald acknowledged him. That's amazing, folks. I mean, other press people went, but I mean, we're talking about a bunch of volunteers just get around, shoot the breeze, and put out some radio. We've also had some controversy, the Dylann Roof incident. We were in the crosshairs for that one. Trying to think some other issues. The Donald Trump Jr. interview, that was a big to do. And I had asked James, like, hey, James, are we fighting with the Trumps? Because guess what? We will not back down from any fight. The left, you know, keeps dishing out, and we give it back tenfold. And, you know, there's times James said, don't like, don't put that out, or don't say that, or, you know, we're really going to have some issues. Also, the fiasco of Sheriff Paul Babu from Pinal County, Arizona. We told him what we were, what we're about, and you're going to get some controversy. He's like, yeah, you know, I don't care. You know, we'll do a show, do a couple of shows, and then he can do ride shotgun or whatever. And turns out, Mr. Babu lives an alternate lifestyle. And then he sold us down the river. In fact, one of our best shows that we were the congressional committee, they're talking smack about us. We were actually I'm trying to think of the word, we were condemned by a congressional committee with Sheriff Babu on the panel. And that was one of our best shows ever. It was James and Eddie, and then I came on. And then just to wrap it up, we said, what the hey, we'll put Sean Bergen on. That was a great show. Also, the shooting in Florida, we had a great show with Jim Lancia. Another great show was just Sean and Jim just talking for an hour on the radio about whatever. And that was just a great show. Also, then there's a show with the Sonny Landham in a hospital under the influence of his submedication. He did a live show on the radio. I was at work. My jaw just dropped because I was listening to the internet feed. And then we had Sonny, then Pat Buchanan, then me. Talk about a letdown. But anyways, folks, that's all we have. Congratulations to James, 14 years down, 14 plus more to go. Folks, give us a listen. We're at 75radio.org, also thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm Scoop Staten for Walter Yerkew, who is missing in action. Check you out later.
James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.